Okay. Welcome to the show. Introducing Joe Lawler. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Infectious Grooves, Russ Robinson, is also on the show tonight.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
I just was picking everyone's brain for various topics, and it's like, you know, we talked all about all these various actors and stuntmen and cult actors. How about we talk about ones who are, you know, we're talking about ones who are going to become filmmakers. How about we talk about ones who are also trying, like, they became musicians or singers along the way, somewhere down the road, and whether or not they were better known for that versus always known for being an actor and just did this on the side at a gig in like New Orleans or LA, you know. And it's kind of fascinating. Some of them who flirted with this for a while and weren't necessarily bad, you know.
So that's the thing, is when you brought this topic up, I was thinking, you know, what are the reasons that people do this? Like, if somebody does have a split profession, if they go from
side
being an actor
to,
yeah,
like talented. And
tell me if you're wrong on this. Here's the three main reasons I could think of. And tell me if I'm either wrong on this or maybe, you know,
there are no wrong opinions. There's just different opinions.
Well, I feel like, first of all, I think there are some people who very much have a passion for both, you know, like people who maybe grew up and truly love music and might want to be a musician and also have a passion for acting in motion picture. And to me, that would be like the purest one, right? Like somebody who grew up with a passion for both and just wants to try their hand at both. Mm-hmm. I think there's a whole lot of actors who really wanted to be musicians in the first place and couldn't get into the music industry for one reason or another. And there's a lot of them like that I think really, you know, did motion picture and then we're like, okay, now I get to pursue this thing. And then I think, and this is the most negative thing I can think, but I think there's also a certain amount of them that are like, well, I'm just going to grab as much of the pie as I can. Like, oh, it's hot to put out an album right now. Then, oh, look, I can sing, you know, and I'll just put out an album and it's zero passion for them. It's just another product that they can sell. But That's the three big reasons I could think why anybody would make the jump.
Totally.
Ego probably just comes into it too. It's like, I'm famous and popular at one thing, so surely that will translate.
Totally. It's like sometimes it works, other times it doesn't. And I think it was even just more interesting just seeing how many of these, like, you can't even necessarily get all their work on iTunes or whatever. Like, Born as Ghost was one that was headed by character actor Eric Bulfer, and it's not bad from what you hear. It's pretty casual party music, but they were just never huge. They were never a big thing. And you want, you know, some of it also could just easily be management, you know. Just whatever reason, just didn't take off.
For sure. And then there's some too, like, that I think on purpose keep it sort of on the down low. Like, they are not trying to turn their music in career into a mass produced product. Like, ones that came to mind for me were Russell Crowe, Steve Martin, and Jeff Bridges. Like, all three of them.
There you go.
Very passionate about music, but all three of them don't go around ever saying in interviews, oh, and I have a band, you know, download my newest project or whatever. Juliette Lewis is another one that comes to mind. Like,
and
I don't think anybody would think of Juliette Lewis as a musician, and she's out touring and playing halls, you know, just with all the other punk bands. You know, so I think there are ones that do that are like, you know, I love this, but I don't need it to be a big, huge mainstream product.
Totally. Keanu Reeves missed out on a bunch of gigs with Dogstar, and that was a pretty cool rock band.
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't he turn down Speed 2 so that he could perform with Dogstar?
Yep.
Or maybe that was his excuse.
Yeah, he didn't want it anyway, but yeah, that's kind of the excuse they ran with. Is like, and by the way, I'm touring. And I find it even more interesting how Don Johnson, of all people from Miami Vice.
Yeah. I kid you not. I'm not kidding. Don Johnson was the next one that I was going to bring up, because that would have come out, his quote hit, like, it was a hit for the time. His single would have come out when I was probably like 8 or 9. And that was the first time that as a kid, I was like, but you're an actor though. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought of him as the Miami Vice guy. And I was like, I didn't even know you could You could do that. You know, totally. Like you could put out both. Yeah. And then right around the same time, Eddie Murphy had the big hit with Party All the Time. And yeah, and Bruce, well, you know what's funny about that Bruce Willis record is that was laughed out of record stores when it was released.
Yeah.
And now if you talk to like blues guys now, they're like, hey, you know what? Record's not half bad.
You know, like, yeah, I don't find it necessarily offensive. It's just kind of unusual, but it just came out at an awkward time when it's like they still had that prejudice. You can only do one thing at a time unless you're Cher or Madonna, in which case we want you in everything. You know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think there's like less of a, like people are more accepting of an actor who transitions to music, or sorry, a musician who transitions to acting than an actor who transitions to music.
It blew my mind when I found out that J-Lo was an actress before a singer. And I was like, really? Okay. I thought it was the other way around. So one became bigger than the other, basically.
And yeah. Jennifer Lopez, and I love pop music. I don't get any sort of music snobby about that. She doesn't make music, you know, for me, but she has a wildly popular music career. But for me, Jennifer Lopez is one of those folks who I think just strikes on whatever is hot, like wherever she thinks she can make a splash, because, you know, she started out as a dancer on In Living Color and made her way into some movie roles and whatnot. And then, you know, in the early 2000s, it was like, oh, and also I sing, you know, with enough production and, you know, helpers in the studio. So, and again, I want to be clear, I'm not discounting her. Like, you know, it's not a music snob thing. It's just that I feel like she's one that I would give as an example. Like another one, Lindsay Lohan, you know, would be another one where it was just kind of like, oh, I don't know, I'm hot, let me try an album and see if I can get people to buy it, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's what's even wilder is Kevin Bacon and his brother, I think Michael or whatever, had a band and they still tour every once in a while. And yet it's kind of one of those, it's like, it's pretty acceptable. It's just not music that everyone has. It never stood out to me as like, oh, it's at the back of my mind. I've got to listen to it. But
the other was like Billy Bob Thornton's is it the, I can't remember the name, the Box Tops? No, that can't be it. But yeah, he's had a band that he's toured with, and same with like Kevin oh boy, from Field of Dreams.
Costner.
Yes, Kevin Costner in True West. He's toured with them, and
I did not
like know. You know, it's not something like he's like, I'm in Iowa and he's come and played at the Field of Dreams here, and you know, I'm sure he's probably gets a more receptive crowd due to the kind of connection to the state than he might in other places. But
I was even more surprised by Dolph Lundgren, of all people, an action star who sang overseas. And is like, you know, he doesn't have bad vocals, but it's just weird. And I'm sure he knows it's weird. That's why he kind of just did it for fun.
Well, if you're gonna start counting overseas, then you have got to talk about David Hasselhoff.
Oh yes.
Very legit career overseas, but here, you know, you wouldn't be able to give a record store.
Laughed
out
off the stage, and then just like, it's amazing how everyone. It's kind of like people who are popular. I think it was like Cheap Trick said it best. I'm big in Japan, so it's like, it's like you got the whole deal of everyone just finds different outlets.
You know, one that's kind of a funny story that happened to me, and this goes back to a very old movie, I think came out in 89 or 90 or something like that. But about 5 years ago or so, I was in a record store just shopping, and I overheard they were playing on the in-store play. They were playing an album that had a cover of End of the Line, Handle with Care by the Traveling Wilburys. And it was a female vocal on the cover. And I was like, oh, this is rad. Like, I've never heard a woman sing Traveling Wilburys before. Like, I'm going to go up and ask about this. And so I go up to the register and I ask about it. And they say, oh, yeah, this is Jenny Lewis. You know, she's got this band, and this is like her third album or whatever. And so I ended up buying actually the copy they were playing. It was the last copy they had in the store. And I come home And I start looking into her because they said it was, you know, her third album or whatever. And I come to find out that when I was a kid, I went to see this video game movie with Fred Savage called The Wizard. That was a it was basically a 2-hour commercial for Super Mario Brothers 3.
Why didn't Christian Slater become a singer? That would be funny.
Yeah, and Jenny Lewis was the little girl in that movie and grew up to be. You know, so here's me at like, I don't know, 10 years old going to see this movie that she's in. And then
all this, you know, back history that you don't know unless you're the manager or the programmer.
Yeah. And then 20 years later, you know, I'm in a record store hearing her cover the Traveling Wilburys and having no idea it was her. So that one I thought was interesting.
That is something else. That's the best way to find out. You're like, who is that song playing on the loudspeaker in a mall?
Yeah.
She came to mind when I saw this topic, and because she's someone who like started as a child actor and then transitioned to music as an adult. And another example I thought of like that was Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless, who was Cindy How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and mm-hmm. she's basically retired from acting and just does music full time now.
Mm-hmm. Even some who kind of did a reverse, like Leighton Meister was kind of known for being a singer before she was an actress. So it's like, it is an interesting reverse. It's like, you don't know if it's just the manager gives them some approval and says, here's, you know, a music instruction class, I'll invest in you. And here's the backup for if this doesn't happen.
Yeah. I have no doubt that happens. Yeah.
And you got to commit. Sometimes you find out, I'm sorry, all the time and money spent, this is not for me. I don't have the mentality for it. I don't have the patience or the dream. And some of it is, it's like, it's cool. It's kind of like some of these serious actors that we see, they want to do comedy, but they're always going to be heavies or bad guys and everything. And it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you have other folks that people don't even have any idea that they had any sort of acting career, however much you want to refer to it. But like Alanis Morissette. She had two careers before she broke big with her.
I think I heard about it. I just couldn't recall any movie I'd seen her in where she didn't play herself. But yeah, it's just like, Drake and her were they were actors before.
They were actors first, and then she was
Canada, baby.
Yeah,
and she was on television, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was on You Can't Do That on Television, and then after that, she had a very very successful pop career in Canada before completely moving on to completely reinvent herself, really to the world, you know, with the Jagged Little Pill and Forward.
Yeah. You know, being a rock star of all things. So yeah, it's very intriguing. Another guy who does that as a side business, he kind of did it sarcastically and then he kind of took it seriously, was out of all people, wrestler Chris Jericho. He has that band Fozzy, and you watch the music videos and you're like, God, he's a nut. He's just a really funny dude, kind of like David Grohl of Foo Fighters, and yet he's just kind of just stuck to, I'm going to be the wrestler, or I'm going to do some acting, and I'll even do stand-up comedy. It's just like, this guy just is fearless. He doesn't care what anyone has to say about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you take somebody like Chris Jericho, he was born just passionate about music. So that's one that goes to the example of what I was talking about, where he got in the wrestling business and very much made, I mean, he got to the absolute top of that career business
security
in several companies. I mean, he was just, I don't watch wrestling currently, but he was just a big part of a wrestling pay-per-view this past weekend.
And, did he perform music?
Yeah, and then no, he didn't. And he was on the wrestling card, but he does that. He does his podcast. He's wildly passionate about music and his band. So to me, that's one of those examples of a guy who came up one way, but really his end game was to be involved in music.
Totally.
I kind of noticed a flyer for a band that was playing in my hometown recently that is kind of an oddity in this. A band called First Jason, which is fronted by Ari Lehman. And he played Jason in the very first Friday the 13th movie as the little kid. And now he has a band named after that playing heavy metal across the country. And wow. I was like, that's, you know, it, like, I think it would draw in, like, fans probably of horror and metal. So it's probably a good kind of cross draw for him.
Yeah, for sure.
I would think so, yeah.
On the total opposite end of the spectrum, musically and actually all the way across the board, Zooey Deschanel is another one who she has a very, very successful career with She and Him, to where I don't think if she wanted to never act again, she would be known very successfully in the indie circles for her work in She and Him.
I remember that. It was like Fox or CBS was there in like a Super Bowl program, and she was in like a halftime show. And I was like, I had no idea she was also singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got in the door through her appearance. She had a singing part in Elf, and yes, and pretty much from there was able to springboard that into. And she's a great singer. You know, I think she's one that was passionate about music and acting, and was able to do, you know, both to varying degrees of success. But she has a lot of cred in the industry with her.
I think she did some backup vocals too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool. There's this guy who played, you want to talk obscure people, like the Friday the 13th. I remember there was this guy who actually passed away recently, who was known for just goofy action movies and playing Tarzan on like two different programs called Joe Laura. And he like vanished from the industry in 2002 and became like a Christian, country singer. And you're like, wow, okay. That's a total giant catch 22 and just giant 180 left turn.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I never heard any of it. I guess none of it ever got played. But I'm actually very impressed by Michael Chiklis. I had no idea this guy has just been playing cops and bad guys on TV. Has his own rock band that's on again, off again.
Yeah, for sure. And you have Jared Leto is very successful in his acting career and extremely successful in 30 Seconds to Mars. That band has really been put on the back burner for his acting career, but for like a very long time.
He didn't want it, then he did want it, and now this is whatever.
It seems like whenever they do something, it's pretty successful, you know. So that's good that they have a loyal fan base that cares about that aspect. And I know a lot of people who, for certain musicians, care about them as musicians, but don't care about their acting at all, and vice versa. You know, like people who know someone as an actor and never take to their career as a musician. You know, I very much know a lot of people that way, that either are very siloed. They like one aspect of the person's career or the other, and that's it.
Or they even pull an Alice Cooper. It's like, you're here to play Alice Cooper, no matter the medium.
Right. Yeah.
Any of you follow Kiefer Sutherland's recent rock career? It's like an alternative. It's got some shades of folk, country, and rock, and I'm telling you, it's just dynamite. I even got shades of kind of Warren Zevon and a bunch of other stuff in there, and I was like, you know, I always knew he had like some musical connections, but he was mainly like helping produce people for a company he had founded, Ironworks, and more recently he's come out with free albums already, and it's just really dynamite stuff.
He just had, I was in the record store last Friday and they had his album on the new release wall, and I didn't, but I came actually very close to blind buying it, being like, there's gotta be something interesting there, you know? And
my father was really digging it, and he's really critiquing on you. He's like, if it's derivative of this or that. And I think it's just, he's had all this voice and he's had all this stuff to write down, and it's just finding the right time and effort, and he's finally could do that with his career, where he's like, okay, I've been on free hit TV shows, now I can do this. Couldn't do it initially, wanted to do it initially, and I can't think of any song that just came off as just too self-indulgent or out of place on the album. It was a lot of good different tunes. There's a bit of something for everyone, so I would totally put it on a party playlist for your Spotify or what have you.
One who, like, I guess, you know, kind of interesting career going from like sketch comedy to serious films to then music would be Jamie Foxx.
That was a total twist, wasn't it? Yeah. Everyone would be like, who is he? He's a bit of everything. He's like, comedian. I mean, Ray, he's an actor. Helped, but... Yeah, it's true too. It's like, he doesn't have to prepare to sing. He can already sing.
Yeah, and I think his turn as Ray Charles bought him a whole lot of credit. I mean, obviously you're only acting, so you know, who's to say where his piano skills lie or whatnot, but it does take a certain amount of really understanding the mind of a troubled musician to be able to play somebody like Ray Charles as well as he did. Yeah.
And so, every comedian went for a dark path in order to get where they are. So yeah, they definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
His success with, following Ray with some music makes me a little surprised that Joaquin Phoenix didn't pursue it a little more after Walk the Line. Because
he was doing that whole "I'm not an actor anymore," and then it was just all.
I mean, yeah, I guess he did go into that weird hip hop mockumentary thing, or if it was a mockumentary,
nutty.
I mean, not what people wanted after Walk the Line.
Yeah, who was the audience for this again? Yeah, I think you guys have summed up a lot of the big ones. Is there anyone who you've noticed has kind of been making noise about that on their Facebook or?
Go ahead.
Well, I've got my kind of someone who I put out an album in the mid 90s that I loved and then didn't really put out anything else for a long time, but now occasionally put stuff out on her website is Mila Jovovich.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Divine Comedy was probably one of my favorite albums of the 90s. And she didn't really do much after that for a long time musically.
She seemed briefly in this one indie film she did with Adrian Brody back in the 2000s. And I was like, okay, but I didn't know if she actually was a singer or if they dubbed her over for that role. And so, yeah, I think I did hear about that briefly, I think she just did it as a just fun side project. I mean, I'm even more surprised at people who have flirted with this whole thing every once in a while, like Antonio Banderas, ScarJo, and a bunch of these other people. Yeah. It's like they just do guest vocals, and Jack Black kind of was another one who's like, okay, he's both a comedian and a singer, and he's got all these other comedians guest starring on his album as well as heavy metal musicians who.
The only other one I could think to end on is a guy who hasn't had a ton of success with the music side of things. To some extent, he had a decent amount of success with the Hollywood Vampires, but and the dude just looks like a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
If you looked up rock star in the dictionary, there would be a picture of Johnny Depp, and you know, and you'd be like,
that's right.
but he's not a rock star. You know, like he is musical. He can play. He is passionate about it, but he does it very, very, very part-time. But the dude looks more like a rock star than most of the people that we have in the music industry now that are called rock stars. You know, like, let's put it this way. The dude looks more like a rock star than like all of the members of Weezer put together, you know?
Absolutely. The Weezer went for the geek look, which was just so ironic because that's just not what you got from the music. And then, yeah, Johnny Depp and Billy Bob Thornton, they're just both examples of just people who were just... Yeah, it's like that's what they did in their free time until they got the call that mandatory, you got to show up on the acting set, you know?
Right.
I guess going back to the wrestling thing, just I don't know if either of you watched Peacemaker, but John Cena played piano in one of the episodes. And
I haven't seen it yet.
Pretty good. And so, I mean, like, I don't know if he's going to release a piano album or anything like that, but, you know.
I think it's kind of more like skill. The Rock. He did it for the role versus you're welcome. Yes. But no, that is a good question. It's just so wild. But no, I think you guys summed up a bunch of the highlights, and I'm interested to see who stands out next, who tries that as a side habit. Would you guys care to promote your show? I dare you.
I mean, I've got a website, livelocalman.com, that I hardly ever update. But if you Google me and music, you'll find old articles I've written with about a bunch of musicians, including some actors who turn singers. So you'll find my interview with Kevin Costner or someone like that. They're out there.
Sweet.
And as for my part, we've got infectiousgrouppodcast.com is really the best place to find us. You can find links to our episodes and our vinyl YouTube channel and everything all in one spot. And the podcast comes out every single Monday morning, literally covering as many different genres and topics as we can, album reviews, all of that stuff, interviews. We've interviewed quite a few big names and already had two or three people on the show that when we started, if you would have said, you know, what's your dream list? We've had the good fortune of having a couple of people from, you know, a list I would have given you of dream guests and whatnot. So infectiousgrouppodcast.com is your best bet to hit up and find everything about us there.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Thank you ever so much for being on here, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.